Hey guys, Paul here. Come along and see us. Let's go.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. And now, here's Rob.
That's not Mike. They're not introducing Mike.
I'm impressed you made the audible.
Yeah, well,
last
you know
last
what?
Minute notice.
All I know is that if a podcast isn't audible, why do it?
And I know I am tired of that Paul McCartney clip.
Oh, you are?
Can you trim it to just the let's go?
We'll see.
I don't think we need the this is Paul.
Well, I mean, he's obviously very tired when he recorded it. And we want to give him all that he has to do. Let's hear it again. I'm sorry you have to hear it again, but listen how tired he sounds.
Hey, guys. Paul here. Come along and see us. Let's go.
Like they just woke him.
Well, and a poor even edit. Like his voice changes. His voice tone is different from the beginning to the end.
It's really weird because you would think that he, of all people, would be able to secure a good recording of a voice.
Right.
He's been at it for a while. Anyway, folks, no more Paul today. Hey, it's Rob with Josh. This is not called Jars, but it is the Josh and Rob Show. And Mike is unable to join us today because he's mourning the loss of the Stephen Colbert Show.
He fell off the boat, I thought, this weekend.
Also that. He was so shocked with the news about Colbert, he fell off the boat. No, Mike is having a total internet crash to a point where he couldn't even raise enough energy to try to join us. And he is right now head-to-head with the smartest people at Comcast. I'm sure he'll be done any minute.
Well, I believe the last one said, I need a new modem, was the last update we saw.
Okay, now, Josh, I'll you know this you, stuff. Does he need a new modem?
I don't know because I didn't do any of the troubleshooting. I've left it to Comcast.
I understand.
Maybe we might need to do a three-way call with Comcast later.
I understand that as well.
But I will say, we have had some just huge storms down here in Florida.
Okay.
And I know he has said them too. Like right here for the past 90 minutes, there's just been thunder outside my house. There's been no rain, just constant loud rolling thunder where I keep waiting for the skies to open up and they haven't for 90 minutes.
So no rain at all.
No rain, so, just thunder since 3 o'clock.
So with that being said, even if the rain comes crazy, that shouldn't affect internet, should it?
No, but lightning will and power surges will, because that will take out your modem. So if
and that can also they can hit a transformer,
right? If they're saying
like
he
Bumblebee
needs a new modem, it was probably an electrical surge.
Does he not have a surge protector?
I do not know that.
Well, you helped him wire the studio.
I don't know. I'm thinking more of, well, I wonder what took out the Scarlet, because we had to replace his Scarlet. And now I'm wondering if maybe there needs to be a surge protector, because maybe a surge has taken out multiple things.
You know, I'm afraid that one good hit might take him out. You know, those headphones go right in his ears. He could be gone, 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 gone. Anyway, we are here. There's no reason to not do a show.
No.
As Josh said, well, we're here. So, yes, we are here. The first things I wanted, first of all, welcome home. You haven't been home many days since summer began.
I have not been home for 7 straight days since the beginning of May.
Wow.
Because of traveling to Jimmy's, then Boston,
right?
Then the Europe trip, then the New Jersey trip, then the Outer Banks. I am home today. Got home last night.
I like to think that the New Jersey trip really should be referred to as the King's Dominion trip.
The King's Dominion part was the high part of the trip.
Thank you. I just like hearing that.
Yes.
but you're home. It must feel good.
I'd much rather call it that than the kidney stones trip or the camp trip. We'll focus on the King's Dominion.
It's
6 hours.
The blue ice cream trip.
Right.
Well, thank God you're home. And you know what? It must be. I know that sometimes getting away is nice, but as Frank Sinatra sang, it's very nice to go traveling, but it's oh so nice to come home.
I asked my wife today, I said, when's our next trip? She said, there's nothing on the calendar right now until the cruise.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was very thankful about that. That's like 6 months.
That's great.
5 months.
Yeah, you can get those things done around the house. Change some light bulbs, things like
that. I did. I put up a ceiling fan today.
Oh, there is nothing worse. Oh, that's bad duty. Did you do it by yourself?
Yeah.
Oy.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Did you, well, I guess if you was it replacing a ceiling fan or installing one?
It was replacing a light and putting a ceiling fan where a light used to be.
Okay, so did you have enough bracketing already in there that you didn't have? Oh, so it's not so bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all.
The hard thing about that is doing stuff above your head. I hate that.
Yes, this was by my daughter's bunk bed, so I just sat in the top of the bunk bed.
Oh, that's
much
a lucky.
Nicer than a ladder.
Yeah, I had installed a lighting fixture in the upstairs, I guess the living room, and it was a Edison bulb fixture. It was very neat, you know, 8 Edison bulbs,
yes.
But it was not like the one that preceded it, so it had to sort of finagle to make it land up there. And if you ask me, if while I was installing it, did I fall off a stepladder? Yes, I did.
But but did you fall off due to electrocution?
No, just clumsiness. I learned that day that the best shoes for using a stepladder are not Birkenstocks. So don't use those. Anyway, so when I fell, I mean, and it was a good, like both feet leave the ladder fall and landed, I believe, sort of sideways and ended up face down, to which Robert, who was ostensibly helping me, came up and said, "Dad, it's crooked." Not, "Are you okay?" Not what happened, but he just called to mind my handiwork. Well, I'm glad you got the ceiling fan in.
I got the ceiling fan done. And there's more projects to get done after being away for so long. And now we are in full get ready for school.
Oh, yeah, because your school starts pretty early in
August
Florida.
August 11th. So
that's
the reason I'm
too,
back.
Do you feel that's too early as a parent?
You know what it is? As a parent, no.
Okay.
As a northerner, yes.
A northerner.
They start at the beginning of August because they get out like before Memorial Day.
Oh, okay. So they've
so
just
they get
sort
out
of,
because June and July are so hot in Florida.
Oh,
they
just
shifted a little
time
bit.
Shifted it. Yeah.
Right. So it feels weird to me to start real early. But the fact that they get out in May, as a parent, I'm ready for them to go back to school.
I would think so. Yeah. Oh, man. But the schools are air conditioned. Yeah.
They are.
Okay. Because, I mean, I don't want to really show my age, but we had a couple school closings at Madison High School.
Yes, me too.
The Warhawks, based on heat, because it wasn't an air-conditioned school.
Yeah, here they do it because of the kids have to walk home in the heat.
I see. Okay. You know,
but whatever, they've shifted, and this week we have middle school, like, tryout day or whatever.
And so you get into middle school?
Well, they go.
You have to sing a song to see if you get in.
We take them to school for like 3 hours where they get to try out their locker, see where the locker is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Walk to their classes. You know, because this is all new going into sixth grade.
I remember this with
jump between classes.
With Julia, they really, kids sweat the locker. They don't want it to not open. They really don't like that notion. They want to have everything available at all times.
Exactly. And the concept of going from class to locker to class.
Yes.
And the other class might be on the other side of the building.
Yeah.
That's a scary concept for these kids.
It's something you have to work out. But I hope they do well. Do they have to provide their own lock, or is the lock already on the locker?
Oh, no. I have to pay like $25 to rent a lock for the year.
Rent a lock? And so it's not a built-in?
Well,
that's a scam.
I assume. No matter what, it's a scam. Because I can't use my own lock, which is $5, so I have to pay them $25. Oh, and you know what? It's not to rent the lock. It's to rent the locker, which has a built-in lock, I believe.
Well, if you choose not to rent the locker and you just, like, give your kid a huge backpack, he can just carry everything around.
Apparently, the justification is not everyone wants a locker.
No, but it's not
that's
that.
That's why they want to make me. That's what they use as an excuse for me to pay.
What they want is they want everyone to give them $25.
Yes.
That's for the whole year?
Yes.
I hope.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
How many students in the school do you know? I'm guessing about 500 because it's 3 grades.
It's 3 grades. That sounds about right.
So that's an extra $2,500 right in their pocket, and they don't have to do anything. That sounds like corruption and maybe crookedness.
It sounds like 2025 where there's a fee for everything.
Have you fought this? Has no one fought this?
The locker fee?
Yeah.
I just found out about it and I don't really have a choice. I was just like, okay, whatever. I have not fought it.
Yeah, well, you better fight it because pretty soon they're going to be charging for everything. School trays, everything, napkins, they'll get you coming and going.
Oh, yeah. But that's what everyone does.
Yeah.
If you go buy a ticket to a ball game, they have to add on a convenience fee, even though the only way to purchase it is online.
And it's not very convenient.
It's convenient for them.
Now, speaking of ball games, before we get to this, because I did mention this to you when we spoke to the Kelsey's freak-off. Yes. That has happened. I think it winds up today, doesn't it?
I don't know. I saw videos of people splashing.
Yeah.
I saw a photo of like a sleepover movie night or something, you know, like you would do when you're 12.
Yeah. I saw a picture of Dennis in the pool, but he looked like he just might be remains of a survivor of an accident, but I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's fine.
It looks like they are having a wonderful time and a great time.
I was shocked when we did our little visit with them at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock freak off time on Saturday. I was shocked how many people they had in that one living room. They really have a lot of folks.
Yes. It looks like I'm trying to figure out. It's like a 12-year-old's birthday party.
And it is.
Tomorrow we'll get the feedback about Michael's birthday party and all. But that it looks like a bunch of adults having a birthday party.
And I love it. It was so much fun to see everybody and so many familiar faces all put together like that.
Yes.
Fantastic. So congratulations to the Kelseys. And I won't name all the attendees because I don't want to leave anyone out. But
and that party always makes a great donation to the show. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yes. Wonderful. Looked like they had nice weather and all things like that. And I know that Yaz stayed on the East Coast, but she did post a picture of her TMOS beach towel.
Yeah.
Which Rob, I thought was very nice.
You don't even know that my mom does a lot of this print on demand stuff.
Okay.
Like we do for the beach towel and some of our t-shirts.
Yeah.
Where she has a whole business where she does that stuff.
Okay.
So I was spending time with her this weekend. So she was showing me all this other stuff that we could put up on the store. So I put up some bottle openers.
Great.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I started making car magnets that I think I'll get up later this week.
Oh, I love that.
And then I put one product up selfishly for myself because when I put it in, I said, I want to buy that.
What is it?
It is a set of pickleball paddles with the TMOS logo on it.
Good Lord. There's a set? You don't just buy them singularly?
Yeah, you can't buy a single. You have to buy a set.
Why?
Because I just wanted one. I don't know. But it's now on our website because I have ordered one.
Well, go ahead and everyone get to the store. I like the idea of the car magnet. They're good. You know what? They're great for covering dents.
They are.
If you're selling your car, you can do that. And the bottle opener, it used to be a very important thing to me to have a bottle opener. It still is, but it used to be part of my lifestyle.
Right. Yeah. Right. But it's a fridge magnet too. So it'll hold
up. Oh, I like that. I have one of those. Well, I won't tell you, but it was a president a couple presidents ago. I don't want to cause trouble. Not your guy. I don't have his magnet. No, I don't want to cause trouble.
I collect all the president magnets.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a set.
Wow, like the pickleball paddles.
Exactly.
So when we were talking to everyone at the Kelsey's, and thank you again to Steve and Janet for doing that.
And you know there's people still there.
Oh, I know. Well, isn't like Jim Amato is staying for like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, I think him and Dennis Murphy bunk beds.
Yeah, they got there They were the first to arrive, and they will be the last to leave. And that way, you can turn a weekend into a week like that.
Yes.
So enjoy, everybody. I said to you when we were on the visit, I said, you'll never guess where I'm going tomorrow. And you guessed King's Dominion.
Correct.
Not so. It's because due to a misunderstanding with my wife, I went to see the Nationals play the Padres afternoon game on Sunday.
Now, how did you get mixed into going to a baseball game? Because you went to the Oriole game with her.
Yeah, well, I don't hate baseball. I don't hate watching the game. I don't hate the experience. I like it. It's fun. But it's not, I don't have the sort of wherewithal you do to like travel to games and see multiple games. It's a treat for me. I like it. And so she bought tickets and she did this like a month ago and she kept saying, well, we're going to go this day and we're going to have seats in the shade and we, and that's great all the way home. But what I assumed she was saying was her and Robert, Because her and Robert go to more sporting events than I do, and they've gone to see Caps games and stuff like that. So I assumed I would be home, but she says, oh, no, no, no. We as all of us, that's the three of us, and that way you can drive. I said, terrific. Okay. Yeah. And I said,
so they take advantage of you being sober then.
Well, there's that. And then also remember the last time that Carrie drove to a sporting event, the car seized.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's a little bit of that luck and pressure.
I think so, too. And besides, it's been a long time since I've driven on South Capitol Street, my favorite road in Washington, D.C. So after going there, and it was hot but not oppressive, sunny day, I think a 135 game. And as we're driving there, I said, you know what? This is going to be fine. This is going to be nice. But as I started to live the experience of Nats Park, I began to realize this is a very adequate baseball stadium. And I won't give it anything beyond that.
No, it's a larger minor league ballpark.
That's exactly how, although I almost sent you a picture, they have a fill your own Skittle cup machine where you can choose.
I like it now.
With their own flavors.
I do like that.
There's the problem is $5. I think it was an $8 and a $13 size Skittles.
I do like Skittles.
I know you do. And to think you could pick your own flavors, it would be great. So it does. It has that, especially, you know, the courtyard, and when you get in, it's nice. But right. When you get into the stadium, it feels sort of tight and hemmed in. And
they do that open concourse concept,
yes,
where you're supposed to be able to see the ball field from anywhere,
right?
But it's all flat, so you can't see it because exactly. It's blocked by everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we get there, and first off, parking, as is anything in Washington, D.C., parking is a pleasure.
Yeah.
So I just, Steve Kelsey says you need to be louder.
I did.
So,
I turned myself up.
Oh, thank you.
Are you in the garage, or are you in that little lot against the river?
I had no plan. So I wazed my way to the stadium. And that's another thing. You don't see the stadium until you're there, you know?
Baseball is known for skylines.
Yes.
And outfield skylines. There is nothing in the National Stadium skyline to tell you that you are in Washington, D.C.
And beyond that, I couldn't even see the stadium until I was, like, on it. I mean, I was next to it before I saw it, because it's surrounded by buildings that are very tall. So I get there, and the first thing I see is parking lot C, and it's terrific. It is when you exit parking lot C, you are leaving the parking lot, and you are at the game. And I said, this is almost like science fiction.
No, you need a pass for C. You didn't know that?
Well,
that's
I drove
you're about
in.
To run into, right?
I drove in. They waved me through, and I got to the top, and the guy says, do you have a permit? I said, I do not. Can I pay? He says, no. Leading me to think that maybe there is a chance I could pay. And so I countered with, well, what's the best way to get out of here? And he looked at me and the cars behind me, and he said, $60. And so I gave him my card. He says, no, cash. So this guy's helping himself out. Yeah.
Yeah. If he's letting you, because he's letting you in a lot that you're not supposed to be in.
But you know what? It was worth $60 in cash because it was so perfect.
But you had it? You had $60 in cash?
Sure. Carrie carries cash sometimes.
I don't carry cash. So
well, what would you in that situation?
Anything,
well, that's, you know, that you stopped carrying cash after I kept asking you.
Yeah, that's the point where it's Venmo.
Yeah. No, but this guy was going to. I imagine he put his job on the line by letting us in for $60 cash. But we got a good parking spot. You leave the deck, and I think
he's been watching it for a while and knows that this parking lot has not filled up all year.
Probably. Well, I mean, the attendance of the game, to say it was a third full would be really generous.
Right.
So anyway, so that was a win, even though I was part of some sort of shenanigans. So we get to the game, and you just look around, and the only thing I can really draw a comparison to is the other major league park that I've been to is Camden Yards.
Now, that's also not fair because Camden Yards is a top five park.
Doesn't matter. Baseball. This is a lot newer than Camden Yards. They should have made it better than the top five that already existed.
Agreed.
But when you go into Camden Yards, you feel, first of all, it's got the beautiful facade of those warehouses, and it's right in the middle of everything. And you walk into whatever courtyard or entrance you're doing at Camden Yards, and you feel like you're entering something. And
yes.
When you go to a Nats game, it feels like you've just happened upon something.
Whenever I went to a Nats game,
yeah,
I always felt like no one is here to watch the baseball game.
I got a lot of that.
They're here just to hang out. They're here
to be seen
as the local bar.
Yeah.
They don't, and there happens to be a baseball game going on.
So we get in, and Carrie says, "I want a pretzel." And I say, "Well, that's probably not the best authentic park food you could get, but help yourself.
A pretzel counts.
Well, wouldn't you lead with a hot dog, though? Wouldn't you lead with a hot dog?
Well, yes.
Of course.
They always introduce new foods, and I'll try the new food in all these stadiums.
Right.
But I always get a hot dog in every baseball stadium. Of course. I can't help it.
You have to. And so I think she got the pretzel because it was the first thing she saw. And okay.
That's like
she
a
got
child.
A pretzel, right? And I don't, she's got all the cash and the cards, so I don't say anything. You want a water?
I bet you it is like Baltimore, and once you get in the park, no cash.
Yeah, it is a cashless park. It is. But she had the card and the cash. So she got a pretzel. I declined a water. Robert had a water. She had a water. So for two waters and a pretzel, I believe
$18.
23.
Oh, that's a little high.
And those prices are adequate. It's an adequate pricing system. And so that's all I'm giving them at this point.
I'm feeling a theme.
So we go in, and what's fun is that the escalator is right there, and it takes us literally to our section, 201. We hop on the escalator, and it spits us out right at section 201. So we go to our seats, and they are in the shade. They are right by the third base foul yellow pole, right? We're not in the outfield, but along the third base line. Can see everything. The seats are adequate because they are not. We tried sitting the three of us in a row, and there just wasn't room. I'll take the bullet on this. This was me. Luckily, the game was so sparsely attended that we could spread out sort of in our area. And later, an older man would sit in front of us who had a distinctive smell of bourbon on him to a point where I could smell it and say, you know what? That's not even cheap bourbon. That's pretty good. He's been at the bar for a while, and he would cheer kind of like this. Yeah, sir.
Well,
booyah.
To be fair, there wasn't a whole lot to cheer for in that game either.
No, well, yeah, that's, you know what? The team was adequate. They did give up a grand slam in the top of the first. This happens?
Yes.
Adequate play.
Yeah, and then only gave up four more runs after that.
Exactly. It was never a nail biter. I did look down to Kerry, and we decided that the Padres have the worst uniforms in pro sports.
Well, were they wearing the brown and yellow ones?
No, they just looked,
the
they were just tan. They were just tan. Okay. They all looked like they worked in the service industry, which there's nothing wrong with that. But when, you know, nine janitors run out on the field and say, oh no, it's the Padres. The Padres uniforms were adequate. And so we go around, and I'm just not feeling the game experience, the in-between inning games that they put on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, they were like the DJ.
Yeah,
lazy. The guy hosting the party.
Yeah, and then they got the other guy up there who is the announcer. And he was playing like they were in the playoffs with standing room only, and it was just landing flat. And so we stayed for the game, and we watched it, and it was adequate. And then we left at the middle of the eighth, and Carrie said, all the bets I placed. I said, what? She said, none of them hit.
Oh, no.
And I said,
she
wow.
She went with the hometown.
Wow. So, yeah, that was adequate. But anyway, good seats. Go Nats. Very exciting. I think, are they 17 games out now? It's a lot.
I don't know if it's that bad, but I know the Nationals are not having a good season. They fired their manager just like the Orioles did this season.
Well, the management was adequate. That's the problem. And they needed
right
to excel.
Now, the Nationals are 15 games out of the wild card.
I was not that far off.
You were not. The Orioles are only 8.5 out, which still seems like an eternity.
Well, they will get there. They will get there. Easy, calm. Because you know why? They're better than adequate. They're excellent.
And they did have the, because they're so bad, they had the number one pick at the draft this year.
And Carrie, as we're leaving, she says, do you want anything? Do you want a hot dog? Do you want Ben's Chili Bowl? That's the best thing to get there. And I, do you want a funnel cake? I said, I don't want anything because these prices are adequately too expensive. Yes. Let's just go home.
Did you see the little freight containers out in like the outfield concourse area where they would like sell stuff out of like a freight container and stuff?
Yeah, I saw that.
There used to be one out there, which was the WJFK 106.7 The Fan container. And shows would broadcast from inside those little boxes.
Yeah.
And I would walk past and feel so bad for whoever was in there trying to do their sports talk at the game.
It was dark. The radio coverage for the game was adequate because the studio was not... There was a WJFK studio that was not turned on. There is one piece of landscaping as I'm looking around this ugly... I hate to say it. This ugly-ass ballpark that there is like a grass... simulated hill with a grass W in it. And that's it. As far as decorations go, that's it. And so as we're leaving, Carrie says, are you sure you don't want a funnel cake? Which means she wants a funnel cake. I said,
right.
Let's get one. But they were closed. None funnel cakes. So the hours that they run the funnel cake stand were adequate. And anyway, we got home. Luckily, because it was a lightly attended game that we left early, traffic wasn't that bad. Root for the home team. And if they don't win, it's a shame. Well, it was a shame. And that was my experience at Nats Park. Now, you've been to every baseball stadium.
That is
almost
not true.
Almost.
No, not even that. I think I've been to like 8.
Okay.
The goal was to hit them all.
Okay. How many are there?
30.
Okay, all right.
32, something like that.
Well, hold it. Do you count Memorial Stadium, no longer in service?
Well, I know Memorial Stadium, but it is now a like park or something.
Yeah, but so, does that count in your 8? Okay, all right.
Well,
just
that didn't count in my 8. I guess it should.
How about RFK?
I've been to both Yankee stadiums.
Oh, that's neat.
So I've got that, and I've been to RFK, and I've been to Nats Park.
Did you see a ball game at RFK, though?
I did.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. It's a horrible stadium for baseball.
You know what? Maybe I've only been there for football. I'm trying to think of if I saw the Nats play there.
You know, actually, RFK is not that great for football either.
No, it's not.
It was horrible. Anyway, so that was my day. And you know what? I wanted to ask you, of the ones you've been to, what do you feel that there are any ones that are worse than Nats Park?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what would you say?
Now, I will say, for me, and when I try to rank stadiums or whatever, it's tough because for Camden Yards is a church to me.
Okay,
it's a holy place where I go and my life is different and I can focus and block out everything else in the world.
It's your King's Dominion.
It is. It's my King's Dominion.
You see, that's sweet.
The absolute worst ballpark is Tropicana Field in Tampa.
Isn't that the one that just lost its roof?
Yeah, it lost its roof, so they're not playing there this year.
Yeah.
But it is so bad that they have taken some outfield seat in where no one would sit.
Yes.
And they have just put wood planks over the seats to then make a like walkway that they could then sell concourse and sell food and stuff on where the seats were.
That's really depressing.
And then they just don't open up the upper deck unless it's playoffs.
Wow.
Or like the third level of the upper deck.
That's really sad.
You're indoors. Baseball indoors sucks.
Yeah, I would think so.
I went to the Sky Dome in Toronto, which is indoors.
Yeah.
But they have this magic button where the roof opens up.
So yeah.
Then you don't feel like you're indoors.
Now, does every seat have that button?
Yeah. And it's a vote. It's a voting scheme. You got to hit it more than the other person. More super chats open the roof.
And if it's a tie, they just open it halfway, maybe?
Right. It goes back and forth the entire game.
Well, that's better than the ball game.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm not impressed. I did like
adequate's
is...
Adequate's a good reference.
Adequate. It's adequate. It's an adequate baseball park. And you know
Just like this show. Adequate.
I feel that I can make it to Camden Yards in about the same amount of time because of my distance from the city.
In Northern Virginia, you can because the city is so bad to get through.
So anyway, boo. The other good moment beside the Skittles machine, and I really should have taken a photo, is that Robert found a plaque that commemorated the night Paul McCartney. They had like all the concert people.
Oh,
right?
Come on, they've got plaques about baseball things there all over the place.
Well, and they
he
have
found
to,
a Paul McCartney plaque.
He found the Paul McCartney plaque and said, "Dad, why is the Pope's plaque bigger than Paul?" I said, "Because he's the Pope. That's why." I mean, Paul's pretty big.
Does he not understand the Pope? The Pope's pretty big deal.
Yeah, he is a big deal, but he never had a hit record. So anyway, that was my day at the ballpark. And we do have some beautiful video to play. But before we get to that, I want to ask you, have you ever heard of Livy Dunn or Olivia Dunn?
Olivia Dunn? I know the name. Yes.
She is a
singer or an actress?
Neither. She is an influencer who used to be.
She's the gymnast.
Exactly.
I know who Olivia Dunn is, yes.
Let's take a look for those who don't know who she is. And this particular Instagram post got her into trouble. Okay. First semester grad school done, house hunting at the beach, bought a New York City apartment, and walking to get a pina colada. You know, she's not a bad-looking lady. But apparently, if you buy an apartment that has, like, I don't know, it's something bigger than an HOA. It's like the board of the apartment. Did you ever watch Only Murders in the Building?
I have.
Yeah, it's like one of those buildings.
Okay, all right, so she bought it,
and she was a couple days away from getting the keys.
Okay.
And it was not an unimpressive apartment. It was the apartment owned by Babe Ruth.
What? Hold on.
Yeah.
So it's an old building then.
Yeah, but it's been, I saw photos.
The Babe's not been around for a long time.
That's right. He was adequate.
So I assume it's been remodeled.
Yes, it has. It was
at some point, he lived in this apartment.
This was the apartment that he lived with Mrs. Babe Ruth. It is is on the 7th floor, 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, at 345 West 88th Street, but she paid $1.59 million cash because apparently she made...
That's how I buy houses, too.
Well, it's you save on the interest. She made a lot of money with her name and likeness deal with the NCAA.
Okay.
She made $9.5 million through the name, image, and likeness rules in the NCAA. So she goes and pays cash.
I'm going to go do gymnastics.
Well, no, you're not, because you're not suited for it.
You mean the male gymnastics aren't making $9 million?
Well, it's not so much about that. I think you're too lanky.
I might be.
Maybe if we could do doubles.
All right.
Because together we'd look like a semicolon. Anyway, the board said they don't want this kind of attention on their building, and they quashed the deal based on that one post. She didn't say where she bought the apartment.
Now I know why I know the name.
Why?
Her boyfriend is like the star pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, is he adequate?
So he's well more than adequate.
Okay. So, well, he does. I bet he was excited to live in Babe Ruth's apartment and, do things that couples do.
But why are you buying an apartment in New York if you work in Pittsburgh?
Is it Paul Skinnis? Skeens?
Yes. Skeens.
Skeens. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if you're an influencer, you want a place in New York, right?
I guess. Yeah, I guess you have. What am I talking about? These people can afford houses everywhere.
Why not? I just don't think it's fair that she was excited to buy this place and a lovely lady like that gets shut out by the old crones on the board because she's an influencer.
Is that what they voted out? Like, I know stupid HOAs, you have to technically be approved to buy in the building and all.
And they were approved leading up to it, to a point where everything looked so good they hired an interior decorator. But then they were shocked and displeased to find out that the board rejected them and would not reconsider.
I want to know who lives in this building. It's
got to be other famous people.
Right, but you're too good for a star pitcher.
Yeah.
And an influencer. You don't want these people... It's not like they're not real celebrities that would have a bunch of paparazzi. They're sports people.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's not fair, and I'm not sure I'd be all that excited. I know about Babe Ruth's diet. I'm not sure that's the apartment I want. Maybe something adjacent.
I'm impressed that Babe Ruth walked 7 flights of stairs.
Oh, there's no saying that he did that. I mean, there, elevators were around back
I guess so.
So, yeah, and Mrs. Ruth was there. What was her name? I lost it. Anyway, I just think it's very, yeah, Pittsburgh Pirates and boyfriend Paul Skinnis visiting the co-op, and they aborted it. They just knocked it out from under.
And Quinn's got a good point in the chat. They're probably just preparing for the Yankees to sign Paul Skinnis at some point because that's what they do. Spend all the money and bring on all the best players.
That's, and you know what? And now he's got Babe Ruth's apartment to stay in. How very nice.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have it.
Well, no. In theory, that would have been the plan. Yeah, I'm sorry that he can't stay there. Any other old New York Yankees that she should look at apartments for? Lou Gehrig?
Yeah. I'm sure there's been plenty of... I think there's plenty of nice apartments in New York City.
Yeah.
I don't want to necessarily buy one because Babe Ruth lived in here.
The Sultan of SWAT?
Well... And it's not like he just moved out.
He just moved out.
No, he died in 1948. Like, how many people have lived there but since Babe Ruth? It's not that big of a deal.
New York City put a plaque on it. It's that much of a big deal to them.
You know, people in Baltimore still talk about how the Babe's dad had a bar in Baltimore.
That's right.
And it was right where home plate is now in Camden Yards.
And that's true, except it isn't, right?
No, technically that is true.
Is
it? And then there's a home nearby where you can go visit and see Babe Ruth's little bassinet that he was in as a baby and other things in the Babe Ruth Museum.
A lot of people don't know he slept in the bassinet until he was 22.
Right. He made his way back to the bassinet.
The people should know that if you're not familiar with the work of Babe Ruth, look for him in movies where he played himself, which is really sort of depressing. And then... if you ever watch the movie The Babe Ruth Story, that's a great movie where the Babe misses a game because he hits a line drive in batting practice and nearly kills a dog with it, and he left the stadium to make sure the dog was okay.
Yeah. Normally they like to focus on the hit a home run for a kid.
No, they didn't do that as much in this. They didn't do that.
Well, that's what they did on the, I believe it's John Goodman and the Babe.
Oh, the Babe, yes. Yeah. That's good. Speaking of the Babe, have you seen this video of Livy Dunn? That's the Babe right there.
Apparently so. You know, all right. My whole childhood,
yeah.
My mom told me I was related to Babe Ruth.
Why?
And because her maiden name was Ruth, and her family always assumed they were related to Babe Ruth until they finally did a 21andMe or whatever and found out there's no relation at all.
Yeah, well, there's no alcoholics in
but
your family.
But she was told it as a kid, and...
I was never told I was related to anybody.
Yeah.
In fact, my parents denied the fact they were related to me. Sadly. They did their best. All right. You know what? We're going to pause a moment. But when after you hear this important message, I do have some beautiful video for you.
Can't wait.
So stick around, folk. We'll be back after this.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Charlie Van Dyke.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Van Dyke.
KHJ Los Angeles.
So I just found out this today. Very sad. I'm no great fan of Bill Cosby. Not many people are anymore. But Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played, I guess, the third oldest child in the Cosby Show. He played Theo Huxtable.
Theo was the oldest, I thought, right? Or no, I guess
no, because there was
an older sister.
There was the one who
did
two older sisters, right?
You're right.
So he was, I guess, the middle child, and he passed away over the weekend with a swimming accident in somewhere in near the Caribbean, I suppose.
Right.
They were on vacation, and it struck me. Yeah, it struck me because that's my age. So anyway, I like this clip. I actually remember this clip from when the Cosby Show was on.
I hate that we can't watch the Cosby Show anymore.
It's sad
that it should be in reruns,
but you know, you can you can argue that if you like. I don't know.
No. I'm not taking that stand. I'm just saying I have great memories.
Yeah, it was a solid sitcom, and I believe this is early on. And the plot, maybe you remember this plot. Theo wanted to buy a very expensive shirt, and he went out and charged it.
Yeah.
And the end of the story is that his sister Lisa Bonet. She made him a horrible shirt. But this is when Cosby, Dr. Cliff Huxtable, finds out how much he paid for the shirt. The one thing I want you to watch here, don't pay attention to Bill Cosby, But pay attention to Malcolm Jamal Warner, who's probably maybe 14 here. And he's handling the sitcom laughs and the pauses and the delivery just like a pro.
Bart, how much? But the real thrill is the fact it's pure silk. Are your hands clean?
Doctor's hands are always clean.
Then why are they always washing them?
How much? How much? How much?
Dad, if you want quality, you're gonna have to pay for it.
So he goes into the box to pull out the receipt.
$95.
Oh, well, there must be a pair of pants in there, too.
That's a very talented young man right there. And yes. I think it's really sad that he had to meet that end. So it's very weird when a child star that you literally grew up with is old and you know, they pass. Yeah. And it's just like a piece of he's gone.
Instantly recognizable guy. Because he would still show up occasionally on shows.
Yeah.
In small parts. And you would instantly say, oh, it's Theo.
Yeah. Well, my love to his family, because that's not anything that anyone deserves.
No, you're never prepared for that.
All right, local news in D.C. Let's say you have a pretty high-ranking, I believe it's a collegiate baseball team, and your field, first of all, you're eager to play because you've had so much rain lately. Lots of rain up here, and they've had so many rainouts. So let's say you get back to play, and there is a, adjacent to your field, there is a fire station. What you don't want to do is hit the baseball as a home run into the car of one of the firemen. Let me let you see this.
Look at this video. You probably saw it first.
I've seen this happen at Little League before.
Reporter Tom Rousey's X account. Montgomery County Fire and Rescue is now apologizing after this scene, after a firefighter sprayed so much water onto a baseball field behind the firehouse.
Wait, so he turned the hose on and did this on purpose?
You canceled their game.
They got rained out again because of a fire hose. He was so pissed at the baseball in his car.
But why didn't anyone go turn it off?
No, he was manning it. He was using it.
He's up there holding the hose.
Yes, he was. Oh, no. So anyway, so don't do that, folks.
Oh, I like that.
I thought you would.
That's a Florida guy.
But it's a Florida guy, but it's in like Montgomery County.
Yeah, yeah. No, but he's the type of guy who he's going to get old. He's going to move down here and be one of these rednecks down here.
He could live near Mike. They could be buddies. Mike needs friends, right? When you have a delivery brought to your house, you just want the food brought in. Maybe he rings the bell. You don't want him to be nearly struck by lightning. You don't want this, but it happens.
I'll put the food down first.
Here it comes.
Hold on. What's that lightning way in the background?
No, but I think...
Did it just scare him, right?
I think it was very close because of the loudness of it, although it's not really well reflected on the bell.
No.
You can't really hear it, but the homeowner was very kind and said, "Do you want to check your drawers?" Which I think is polite.
I am impressed that he didn't drop the food.
Me too. I think that's great. Bangor, Maine. I've been there. It's close to where Mike has a place
up there. It's wonderful.
It is. They've got a fireworks store. I know this to be a fact. However, tough weekend in Bangor because not only was it hot, but a guy got onto this roof and wouldn't get down because he claimed there were drugs in the chimney.
Man was on this metal roof of this home here behind me for nearly 7.5 hours in this brutal heat. That man is now in custody and he's on his way to the hospital for evaluation.
Good.
Let's take a little bit of look at some of the video from earlier today. We're told the homeowners were awoken around 4 a.m. this morning when they heard something on their roof. They went to the back deck.
There
and
he
saw
is.
A ladder up against the back of the home. They say that's when they saw the man on the roof. Although they've never seen this man before, when they asked him what he was doing, they say he yelled down to them that he was trying to retrieve drugs out of the chimney. We're told he also had a knife. They call police, and when Bangor Fire and police responded, the fire department put a basket up near the roof. The homeowner's boyfriend says an axe was attached to it. He then jumped from the roof to the basket, grabbed the axe, and jumped back on the roof. We spoke to that homeowner, Peter Reardon, who lives at this home, and he said he tried to talk him down.
And he was not coming down, no matter what I said to him.
Now, here's the thing that's funny.
He jumped from our roof to the basket, retrieved the axe, and then proceeded to chop holes in our roof.
They were using the pickup basket to send him a bottle of water as part of the negotiation.
But there was a fireman's axe.
But there was a fireman's axe on it, and he took it, and he started chopping their metal roof. So good for them.
So, all right. I'm glad you were able to help me understand that.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out why the axe was in it.
Yeah. He is not hurt. He is not hurt. He is right now, believe it or not, you may not believe this, he is in a hospital right now for observation.
Yeah, a psych ward.
Yeah. But
you're still
allowed
to call him that.
I don't know if there's any drugs in the chimney or not.
Can you imagine thinking there's a raccoon or something on your roof and going up there and you seeing a man?
I would hate it. I would not like that. And so keep that in mind the next time you hear it. And also check your chimney for drugs. There's, you know, you don't want people coming.
They did not say if there were drugs or not.
No, they never did. And, you know, and that guy that was talking, he seemed a little suspicious. Maybe he knows about the drugs. All right. Last video today. And thank you, folks, for joining us for this abbreviated edition of the Mike O'Mara Show. Full episode tomorrow, of course. I love when kids are pampered and babied and made to feel like heroes when they're in the hospital. Robert spent so much time in the hospital. Right. I love when they roll out special treats for kids.
Yeah.
Well, this hospital
fair for the kids.
No, it's not. In this hospital, when kids are coming out of anesthesia, if it's timed right, they get. I know that Robert was visited by several support dogs that were friendly dogs that would come visit him. Always nice. Well, this hospital has miniature horses, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger does.
No. No.
No, I know.
The kid's already messed up and thinks they're hallucinating.
So this is coming out, but it gets better. It's not just a miniature horse. It's a miniature horse playing the keyboard to bring these kids out of anesthesia. Let's say you're a kid. You've had surgery.
Yeah.
Is this really what you want to come back to?
Oh, my God.
I don't think that's good for anybody.
No.
I don't think it's good for the horse.
No. I'd say, hey, everyone got heaven wrong. It's a horse playing a keyboard.
I don't know. I know if Mike was here, he'd want it one more time. So let's do have it one more time.
I want to see the kid, like, reaction.
Wow. Yeah, wow indeed. Anyway, so... If that was me, you know what? Thank you, no. None mini horses for me. I'm sorry. But that is your beautiful video. And we'll be back tomorrow at the same time, 4:15 Eastern, so that we can have Mike. He's got a lot to talk about. He's got the party. He's got the internet.
Did you see the dolphins?
I did not.
Somehow, he got a whole like family of dolphins to follow him on his boat.
They're all fans. They're all
P1s. So.
They love it. Those dolphins are named Dennis and Steve and Janet and Jim. Those are the four dolphins. Congratulations again to all the people that were lucky enough to hang at the Kelsey's this weekend. We love you all. Lots of new stuff at the store. Check it out. You can still get your Charlie's Choice coffee. And a few cabins remain for the cruise. All that stuff is available at MikeOMaraShow.com. So we will see you tomorrow. Josh, thank you.
Of course.
And we will do it tomorrow. So long, everybody.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
In today's fast-changing digital world, proving your company's trustworthy isn't just important for growth, it's essential. That's why Vanta is here. Vanta helps companies of all sizes get compliant fast and stay that way with their proprietary AI, automation, and continuous monitoring. So whether you're a startup tackling your first SOC 2 or ISO 27001 or an enterprise managing vendor risk, Vantas Trust Management Platform makes it quicker, easier, and more scalable. It even helps you complete security questionnaires up to 5 times faster, so you can close bigger deals sooner. And the impact? According to a recent IDC study, Vanta customers cut over $500,000 a year in costs and boost productivity by 3 times. Establishing trust isn't optional. Vanta makes it automatic. Visit vanta.com/go to sign up for a free demo today. That's vanta.com/go.